for today's practice, Alan Barber will hold him out of today's practice with the hamstring. Just again, day to day, we'll see where he's at again tomorrow. Jordan Matthews the same way with the ankle. We'll just keep him out of today's practice, but all the indication is that he should be okay. And we'll monitor him day by day on that. And then the other guys that'll go today: Jordan Hicks, ankle sprain, he'll be fine. Isaac is okay. Big V's good. Jalen Watkins is good as well. So everybody else is full strength.
Do you fit the roster spot? What are you going to do with it?
Haven't done anything yet. Again, as kind of what we've done in the past, we just kind of wait and see how the week goes. And we do have Watson, obviously, on the practice squad, and that's definitely a possibility, but nothing at this time.
So is Byron Marshall ready to handle, like, a lot in case you need him?
I think so. You know, he's been here all season and went through camp with us and very familiar with offensively what we're doing, and he's been in on all the meetings, and Deuce does a great job of getting those guys prepared. So his role, obviously, will pick up a little bit more this week.
Third spot be a running back? I mean, you only have two options.
I would like for it to be a running back. And again, with Watson sitting right there, it'd be a no-brainer for us. But again, we'll wait and see later in the week how things go.
Pretty good chance for you guys to see Marshall maybe in some extended role on Sunday?
I think so. Right now the plan is, Darren, but for sure see Byron a little bit more on first and second down probably, and even in some third down situations. I think he learned a lot from the Baltimore game playing, and then sort of calming himself down in that game, and he had a couple of nice runs, had a nice little 12-yarder in that game, something to learn and build from, but his role will definitely increase this week a little bit.
How's it like his blocking, his receiving, that kind of thing?
Receiving, I think, is probably one of his strengths. I think out of the backfield, he's extremely elusive out of the backfield. He's quick. As a runner, he's got a great sort of a first jump cut type move that is very elusive, and you see it in practice when he's going against our defense, and those are things that we gotta see carry over, obviously, into a game.
Nelson Aguilar having a big play in the last game. How important going into the off season with confidence and a high note could this game be for him to do some good things?
I think it's not only big for him, but I think for a lot of guys, on the team, for us, if we can somehow figure it out and win this football game Sunday. I think it's big for a lot of reasons and for a lot of guys and for our team going into the off season. But for Nelson, I think it would be extremely beneficial and just it leaves you with that great taste and that great feel. Going into the off season, it kind of gives you that confidence looking forward to OTAs and obviously next year.
With Darren Sproles, do you see any decline in his quickness or his burst?
I don't. He's still very explosive. You saw the obviously just a couple weeks ago the punt return that was obviously called back, but you saw the punt return and you're seeing some things with him out of the backfield that can keep him going. So there's been no really from the beginning of the year, it really goes to the way he practices. You watch him on the practice field; he's full speed, whether it be in a walkthrough or in the regular course of practice, and it's just the way he prepares himself and a veteran through and through.
You've got a chance to see Isaac play guard and tackle. How comfortable would you feel with him?
I would have no hesitation if he had to play center. I think it's just where he's at as a player. The ability to make all the calls, we give him a couple reps here and there, even on the service team, at center during the course of the year, and just want to keep him going from that standpoint. But he's been such a versatile offensive lineman for us that would have no issues if he had to play center.
Any assistants on your staff that you think are deserving of some head coaching looks?
Well, obviously there's talk out there of the two coordinators right now, and listen, I was in that spot once, and I think that obviously they'd be great candidates. They've obviously in Schwartz's case, he's been there before, he understands it, And in Frank's case, I think he's had interviews in the past, and so he's kind of been through the process. And you hate to see because I handpicked all these guys. You know, you hate to see any of them go because I feel like we've got something special going, and would love to keep them all here if I could.
How would you evaluate Schwartz? I know you're not in a full season evaluation yet, but a defense that started off really strong and then has tailed off a little bit.
I think that you know, you look at what he's put together and what they've accomplished, and really defensively from numbers, even stats, I mean, they've been relatively high, you know, all season long. There's been a couple weeks, a little drop off here and there, but for the most part, with the guys that have been healthy and playing, he's kept that thing together. And you know, the one thing that really intrigued me about Schwartz and his style was that it was a very simplistic scheme. It wasn't, even when you get into sub packages and stuff, it wasn't a lot of, you know, different calls and different defenses. And I think that's what makes any good coordinator great in this league, is that the ability to keep it simple, to allow your guys to play fast, are there going to be setbacks? There's going to be setbacks throughout the year, but again, you just stay true to your process, stay true to your scheme, it usually works itself out.
Aside from those two coordinators, your special teams coordinators had a pretty good season. What do you see from Dave Pippen? Do you think he has that kind of potential to be a head coach one day?
Yeah, I do. I think he's very capable. You know, next to myself, he's the next coach on the staff that really is in front of the team, you know, talking and, you know, coordinating meetings and things of that nature. And I think that he'd be, right for a job, you know, or for an opportunity. And he's very detailed in his work. He's very thorough in his work. He gets the guys to practice fast. And again, he's another one that, as a coach, he keeps things very simplistic for the guys and able to execute and go out and play the scheme fast and aggressively.
Jim mentioned yesterday that there don't seem to be 5-year rebuilding plans in the league anymore, that there's an urgency when a new regime comes in to get it right and get it right quickly. How does that how do you balance what you do on a day-to-day basis with wanting to win and knowing that you probably have to win relatively soon versus, you know, some of the things you want to do over the long term, developing Carson, rebuilding a roster, implementing some things you want to do?
Well, I think that, it starts with the support of your owner. And I think that's where it starts with Jeffrey and the support that he has of me. And he understands where we are as a football team. And, you know, one of the big, he was on board with everything and the decisions that we made to go out and get Carson, you know, this spring. He felt like that, in order to have success in this league, you got to have a quarterback, and so it started there, and quarterback of the future. And, if you don't have that type of support, it makes it a little more difficult, you know, because the pressure is to really win from day one. And sometimes maybe you're not built that way because you're coming in and you're changing scheme, and maybe guys are playing, you know, a position they hadn't played before or in a few years. And, you just got to get everybody to believe, but – and that's the challenging thing, but having that support from the top down gives you that a little bit of time, not a lot of time, but a little bit of time to get this thing going in the right direction, and then ultimately it comes down to me as a head football coach to make sure this thing's going and staying in that right direction.
Doug, a lot was made halfway through the season about Kelce's performance, and he was pretty honest about his own play and, you know, said if I don't play better, I'm not going to be here. How have you seen him over the second half of the season? Have you seen any change in his?
You know, you haven't really seen any changes in him. He the way he practices, the way he plays. I mean, it's he's another one of those, you know, pro athlete players that gets himself ready every single day, and he's so smart and a great athlete. And I think he was one of the guys that was just kind of putting too much pressure on himself to perform, and instead of just kind of letting the game happen and wanting to do things right all the time, which I really appreciate from any player and all players. But I think that's the thing that I think the second half of the year is he's just kind of, you know, it's settled down for him, meaning he's letting the game come to him, you know, which we've talked about. And I think you're seeing it in his play, and he's done a really good job here in these last few weeks.
Doug, given John's success down in Baltimore, given all the things you said about the appeal of a special teams coach as far as being qualified for head coaching jobs, why do you think so little have been seriously considered since John took the Baltimore job?
I think it's interesting, and you know, I think too sometimes of course each team, each ownership is different, but you know, obviously I think you look at the quarterback position, you know, offensively, and you kind of start there, and say, okay, do you want a guy that's offensive driven? Do you want a guy that's defensive driven? Do you want a guy that's proven in the league? Those are all questions that ownership obviously has to answer, and I think sometimes that, again, for whatever reason, I think sometimes special teams gets kind of snubbed a little bit, and it's unfortunate because there are some great special teams coaches in the league that, I came from Kansas City where Dave Tobes, another one that had great success as a special teams coordinator, and you know, it seems like year and year, you know, goes by and these guys kind of get overlooked, but who says they're not qualified? Who says they're not very capable of? Because again, they're the ones that are addressing the team. They're standing up in front of the team, and just like I am, you know. You applaud obviously what Harbs has done because he's gone out and he's hired great coordinators. And I think that's where it starts too. You know, you hire the right guy for the head job, but then at the same time, making sure that the coordinators are the right guys too to run your offense and defense.
It's going to be 16 starts for Carson. In terms of his durability, was that something you were concerned about going into the year? And what do you make out of the fact that he's lasted?
You know, the durability was really never an issue with me. You know, I know we had to address some of the sliding and getting out of bounds and protecting himself a little bit early on, and he's done that. So we kind of got that fixed. You know, the thing with him as a rookie, just mentioning this earlier, Derek and I were talking about it, just he's played a ton of football here in the last year. And you think about his progression from a 1AA national championship to right into the Senior Bowl to combine prep to, you know, pro days and workouts and then OTAs and, you know, right into camp. So he really hasn't had a break. And for him to be playing what we feel is really he's playing his best football right now at the end of the year just goes to show the type of player he is, the type of professional that he is, and how he's learning each week and how he's attacking each week and by the way he studies and prepares and takes care of his body. And then a lot of the credit too obviously falls on the offensive line for protecting him this season, and it's just been it's something that we can definitely build on for the future.
Well, how they've had a lot of success, obviously starts with the running the ball, things like that, served them well this year. The investments in the offensive line served them well in 2014 when they made the playoffs. You know, the trickle down effect of the run game, quarterback not having to pass as much, the defense not being on the field as much, is that a strategy you would like to emulate moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it is a strategy, obviously, for success. And really, you know, you look at, you know, Carson's attempts and per game and Dak's attempts. I mean, I think it's within four or five attempts per game, so it's not that far off. And even our rushing attempts are 10th in the National Football League right now. So, you know, it feels like we're throwing the ball a bunch. But I think a recipe for success is lower those attempts, keep them in that manageable 33, 34, maybe 30 attempts a game, but still being the ability to run the ball just as equally, I think are formulas for success, and then play great defense and special teams.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, guys.